Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. So what does ministry look like in a 2,800-employee beef processing plant? In Chop Chop Chaplain, Chaplain Ministry in a Beef Processing Plant, Reverend Heidi Ravello takes you by the hand as she gently pulls back the thin layer of veneer of real experiences with Muslims, Christians, languages, cultures, customs, traditions, and a splash of corporate policy. It's a merry-go-round of colorful stories with emotional highs and lows, punctuated with laughter. Reverend Heidi Ravello has a Master's of Divinity degree, has served as chaplain for 7 years at a beef processing plant on the plains of America. She attended the University of Nebraska at Kearney and Northern Baptist Theological Seminary, happily married for over 25 years to her husband. They have two adult daughters. She's the author of Chop Chop Chaplain, Chaplain Ministry in a Beef Processing Plant, and Chaplain Heidi joins us now on This Week in America. Chaplain, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
I am
glad to be here.
Really looking forward to this. The book does such an excellent job. Like I said, it hits the highs and the lows, and humor is well in there. You often think, what would it be like in that environment, working in that environment? You're there trying to help people. What's the secret to serving as a chaplain? Some of the challenges, the secrets in a beef processing plant.
Well, a lot of people know chaplains from the military.
Yes.
Or they know in a hospital. Hospital is very often, you know, at the end of life. And it's different than being a pastor. You know, a pastor, I'm going to make up a church here. I'm the pastor of the Church of First Hesitations. And everybody in my church, we all believe the same thing. We have the same tenets. And then you come into a place like this, and as a chaplain, they have different beliefs, even if they're Christian. And it's not my job to, you know, beat them up with Jesus or say, well, your life would be just fine, young man, if you just knew Jesus. So come over to my side. That's not my job. My job is to say, well, what is it that you believe? And how does this work with what's going on in your life today? And how can this bring you peace? And what does your faith say? So let's look at that. And so we often go down that road, and that helps people.
It's interesting. There are almost, I would think, like 2,800 different personalities that you deal with in the processing plant. Is that how you go about it, that each person is an individual, and I need to work with that person, to talk with that person, to treat that person as an individual?
Yes, absolutely. And especially because, you know, we're such a big plant, and so everybody's down to, you know, like any organization. Okay, are you on the processing side or the slaughter side? Okay, are you on, you know, are you a green hat, yellow hat, white hat? Which, you know, and then when you see them as a person, wow, you start to ask them questions. What's your life like, you know, and what's going on? Yeah.
The book is Chop Chop Chaplain, Chaplain Ministry in a Beef Processing Plant by Reverend Heidi Ravello. That's R-E-V-E-L-O. Book published by Stratton Press. You'll find the book there at stratton-press.com, wherever books are sold. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You have people from different backgrounds, different cultures. How difficult is it to sort of win their trust? Is it basically one step at a time in building? You get the foundation, and then you can really communicate with them.
Yes, it's all about earning that trust. And so you have to be honest about what you're doing. You know, over and over and over, I'd say, yes, I'll help you with that. Yes, I'll help you with that. And they're like, yeah, sure. I've heard that from everybody in the plant. And then when it happens, or the next step, then they, if I help the first person, they let me help them, then word starts to go around. Hey, she really helped me. You know, she didn't just say she was going to help me. And then you build from there. And so then it builds with that person, it builds higher. And then from that person, it builds out into the community.
Talk about the language problem. You've got Spanish, Somalia. I understand there's a language, Karen, that's spoken as well. How do you deal with the language? What languages do you speak?
Well, I speak English and I speak Spanglish,
Okay.
which of course is not real. Yeah.
I can relate
I know
to that, yes.
quite a few nouns in Spanish, but I'm no good with verbs. And so if it's one-on-one and we're getting down deep into things, then we use translators. And very often I'll tell the person, I'll say, well, you bring somebody you trust because that they can translate so that this isn't going to get spread around and you know that you trust this person and that it's not going to go any further. And so we often do that.
When you were in school studying to do this, when you were thinking, I am going to be in the ministry, did it ever cross your mind the ministry would be a beef processing plant? You talked before with this church that you made up. At least those people there share a belief in something. These people may not. I mean, this is not a church situation. How did this come about that you decided you were going to be a chaplain in a beef processing plant?
It came about that there was an ad in the paper, and I thought, wow, I was in the ministry for a while in a couple different places, and then I stayed home for a while with my girls while they were young, and we came back to the Midwest here because we wanted to connect with family so my girls would know the grandparents, and I had done a couple different things, and the ad came out, and I thought, hey, I've got some of those skills. I'm going to try that. Yeah.
And it sounds like something you enjoy, the challenges, the meeting people, the gaining people's trust, making their lives better. This sounds like it's really been a very enjoyable experience for you.
I love the people. You know, when you get to know people and you start to talk to them and whatever it is, you begin talking about, oh my gosh, I've got this problem child. And then, you know, 2 months later, how's the problem child? Oh, it's terrible. And then, you know, a year later, 2 years later, 4 years later, hey, he's turned it around. He's doing this. Hey, he's got a girlfriend and she straightened him out, or, you know, whatever the story
yes.
is. And you see that go and, oh yeah, it's just great to touch hearts. Yeah.
How would you boil it all down, why you've been successful in the beef processing plant as a chaplain? What is the first step? And it sounds like you keep using the word people. Is that the key to understand that we may be different, but one thing we have in common, we are all people?
Yes, and you have to have dignity for people. And so often in this world, we're reduced to a number. Or we're reduced to whatever it is, a category, a number, a position, a word. And so when people see that you see them as more than that, they're like, oh, okay, I'm real. And then you begin to tell them, yes, you have value. Oh, yeah, I knew that. I kind of forgot that. Yeah. So and it grows that way. So that's definitely what's important. Yeah.
It's interesting as you're talking with the language barrier, with the culture barrier, you're a mother, you're dealing with somebody who's a mother. I'm assuming that's relatable at that point. Everybody has family. Everybody has fought through COVID-19, in particular, a lot of families in beef processing plants. Is that the common denominator? Is that once you start communicating with them, they start communicating with you? You connect with that bond. You share everything I just mentioned, the family. You share illness. You share being a mother.
Yes, and I have to be careful. You know, as a chaplain, it's not supposed to be about me. So I have to be careful that, you know, if someone's having whatever troubles, that I don't bring my life into it. But yes, if I can share, and I use a lot of humor. You know, Somali men, let me tell you, they are proud. They are, and they're like, help me and help me today. Do it. I need an apartment today. I'm like, I don't have that power. I don't have, but then we begin to talk. I started to ask them, so are you married with 12 kids? And they go, what? And then I'd be laughing. And then they'd kind of laugh, go, well, no, you know, I only have four. I only have six. Or, you know, for us, that's a big family. For him, no, you know, they have a big family. So then that kind of would break the ice a little. And then we'd keep going.
sort of a starter family for him. It's a jump off point. It's where to get started. As you're listening to Chaplain Heidi talk, you're thinking, boy, she should write a book. Well, good for you. She has written a book, Chop Chop Chaplain, Chaplain, the Ministry, Ministry and a Beef Processing Plant. It's so revealing how you can enter into a circumstance where, and I keep using communicate, and it's difficult because in many cases, you don't share a common language. It's just people, again, who are able to bond. How do you break through that fear that so many people have of talking to people, especially I would think in your case, because you're different than they are? How do you break through that?
Well, if you can get all the way down to that, they know I care. You know, whatever the problem is, there's no food in the house. They don't have enough gas. The crazy problem child or the aging parents or, you know, whatever it is. So often, especially in a corporate setting or a processing a plant, you know, it's like, oh, you need help? Here, go to this office, go to that office, follow these six steps. And then when they find out, oh, no, I'm not just going to tell you go to these three places, but I care, that really helps.
You have a story about the girl with the blue scarf. Share that, because that really illustrates what you're talking about.
I was brand new, and it was very intimidating. There's you know, this is 2,800 people, and during shift change in the afternoon, half of them leave and half of them come in, and they go by, and I'm thinking the same things you're thinking. How am I going to talk to people? How am I going to, you know, how do I break this barrier? I don't know. I don't know their words. I don't know. And all of a sudden, there was a woman there, and she had this beautiful teal scarf. And the Somali women they wrap it around their head. You know, only their face can show. And some of them even have to wear more than that. And I was just drawn to it. And before I knew it, I was holding it. And the lady, she turned, she's like, what? And I said, oh, I love your scarf. And she goes, oh, thank you. And that was a connection. I didn't intend for it. It wasn't a pre-planned thing. But she could tell it was real, that I just loved it. I love the way it felt. I love the way it looked. It was gorgeous. And she wasn't offended. She took it as a compliment. And then she smiled. And then, you know, she was off and running, and I was off to do my thing. But that moment, and then I could go from there. I thought, okay, they're people. I can do this. Yes.
Well, yeah, there's that moment where you're a real person, not an extension of management that some people probably see you as, but now there's this connection. She would, I'm sure, remembers that moment as you do. And you tell it so well. In your book, you talk about the celebration moment, the moments that you go through that, okay, this really went well. Let's have a little celebration here. What are those?
Well, we like to think of celebration moments as these big things. You know, we've been in business 25 years. We're a silver anniversary. We have hit this goal of, you know, 22 million or whatever. But for me, it was little things. When I helped a lot of people get an apartment, there's an apartment house that was, it's a 19-page government application. And I knew which things they really looked at and how to fill it out. Because I filled them out so many times, I knew, and I'd make sure we had all the documents and everything. And there was always a waiting list, 6 months to 2 years. And so when somebody got an apartment, they'd come in and I'd go, yes, we did it. You got an apartment. And we'd celebrate that moment, and they were so happy because they could live there, and we got through the red tape. And yes, and you know, Somalians, Muslims, birthdays aren't a big thing. So you're like, oh, when's your birthday? They're almost all just listed as January 1st and then whatever year. So a birthday doesn't have nearly the significance ours does. But But so you find those things that are the celebration moments that we won, we did it, and it's going to better their life.
The book is such a fascinating read. Chop Chop Chaplain, Chaplain Ministry in a Beef Processing Plant by Reverend Heidi Revello. That's R-E-V-E-L-O. Book available at stratton-press.com, the usual places for books. And we'll have all of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You've been doing this for a while. Why now to write a book? Why did it take a while to write a book? And the process you went through when you made the decision to write this, how difficult was this?
I'm a storyteller, you can tell.
Yes.
I love to tell stories. I love to, and I went through some real personal things. I thought I was going blind. I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't, and I went back to, well, what is my bucket list? And I've been writing since I was in third grade. And I said, you know, I've always wanted to publish a book. And so then, well, what should I publish? And I thought, well, here it is. Here are my stories that I love to tell, that I love to talk about. Because then also, as I talk about it to other people, then they see the people behind the people, if you want to say it that way.
Yes.
You know, yes.
I don't know these people, but yet I think I do as I'm reading the book, which I think would be something else you had to sort out in your mind as you're starting to write the book, Chop Chop Chaplain. Going through this, were you concerned about the reaction that you would have among the 2,800 employees in the beef processing plant? People going, wow, I understand Chaplain Heidi is writing a book, and they're going back in their minds thinking if they said something to you they don't want to see in print in a worldwide publication. What was that like trying to do this and still have the privacy factor there?
So, of course, I changed the names, and I didn't get too detailed in the stories, you know, the times, the dates, the places, you just have a general sense of what's going on. And the most important thing there is the relationship or how things went or the celebration. And so that was what was important, not to name who it was and or to have the people in the plant say, oh yeah, we know who that was. That was, you know, Sam. No. And the other thing is, it could be, the way I wrote it, it could be 20 people they know. So really, that didn't become an issue.
The book is Chop Chop Chaplain, Chaplain Ministry in a Beef Processing Plant. Reverend Heidi Revello is our guest on the program. Are there some stories that are difficult to talk about?
Yes. Yes, there are just some moments that I still haven't figured out how to put into words. Or I struggled to put the words down because it didn't. If you're trying to describe a marigold, how do you say, well, it's an orange flower? Oh, I got to have more than that. But yet you don't want to sound like you're making it too, like you're making it up. And so there's a balance there I try to work for.
People in listening would probably go, this really sounds like this would be a fun, enjoyable job. I think I mentioned enjoyable earlier. Talk about that, because we're touching on some of the highlights where you're able to break down barriers. You're able to help people. There's the other side of that as well. Talk about looking at it from a broad perspective. You've got the highs and you've got the lows you have to deal with as well.
Well, yes, because you're hearing stories all day long, you know, about difficult circumstances, about the mom with four kids with no food, about the, you know, the lady who comes with bruises every Monday, but she says, no, everything's fine. And you can't just drop those at the door when you get home. You carry those with you. You have to figure out how to do that and how to separate yourself. But they just also stay with you. Yes.
How difficult is it in a situation like that where you realize I've done everything that I can do? I'm the chaplain there. I'm not a law enforcement officer. I'm not a judge. I'm not the judicial system. There's only so much I can do. And I feel like I did it all. How difficult is that to balance that, to understand? You can't fix everybody's problems.
You just said it. I can't fix it. I like the quote, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You
yes.
know, you can do everything you can, but it's still their decision. And that goes back to my faith. You know, I'm a Christian. I make the choice to believe in Jesus. And now I can show you what I think you should see, but it's still your choice to decide.
You know, I mentioned before the role of the chaplain, and I would think with 2,800 employees, some may think, okay, here's someone who's sent in here from in a management perspective. How difficult is that to get them to understand the real reason you're there, which is to serve as a chaplain and to help these people? Is there some skepticism in the beginning and when you were there that they're wondering what your true intentions are?
Oh, yes. And that's a mammoth thing, that just mountains of misunderstanding or just lack of knowledge and education from the top all the way down. You know, what's a chaplain? We don't really know what a chaplain does. So we're just going to give you some things to do. There was a quote somebody said, they said, well, chaplains are used like butter knives when they could be used like a scalpel. And I thought, yeah, you know, once you understand what it is I do and how I do it, then you can utilize that better. And then in a management perspective, well, then that's going to help all those things in management, your retention, your employee outlook, your productivity, all of that is going to increase. But sometimes it feels more like you're banging your head against the wall. Yeah.
You know, there's so much going on, and we seem so many people to go through life really not worried about people that don't look like us. And in particular, that's sort of where we're divided as a country now. You see racism, politics, inequities. You see immigration issues from a different perspective. How optimistic are you that as a country, this great country, that we can work through these issues? Because you see these people.
Okay, play my game with me here. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you racist?
I don't believe so.
And that's yeah. And I think there's a better question, and that is, how racist are we? Because I didn't think I was racist either until I began to look at some of my beliefs. Things that I had started to believe back
yes.
when I was a kid, college, all the way through. And I think there are some things that were just programmed in. And then as we take a really good look at ourselves and we say, okay, I've learned this somewhere, but I'm not going to believe that. Then that breaks down that racism. And then the other part, of course, is if I can see this Muslim woman as a mother and I'm a mother, well, then we can connect.
And you do that every day. I said in phrasing that question, these people, and I didn't mean to like refer to these people. I'm talking about people that may be somewhat different than us, the culture, religion, all of that in language. And we still have, we're people. And we come back to that sort of common denominator. It's how we let off the conversation. And I guess that's where we end here. Just summarizing, writing this book, being able to talk about these experiences, what's this been like for you? I mean, this is just, I love the book. I love what you do. I love what you've been able to do for the 2,800 people in the beef processing plant. What's this whole experience been like for you?
It was really nerve-wracking to have it come out and see what my management would say, and because I wasn't sure how they would do it, and they accepted it. They went, well, so that part, and then to see how the people would accept it, and they have. And so it's been an interesting journey, to say the least, but it's been very good.
Well,
and then there's another layer of people, people that I know outside the plant who are reading it going, wow, we had no idea these are the, you know, all these things happen in chaplaincy.
Well, that's what's so interesting. You touched on that in the beginning, that it totally is different circumstances. It's not like, you know, you're at a college and you're dealing with an organization there. It's something that's totally different. The book is Chop Chop Chaplain Ministry in a Beef Processing Plant by Reverend Heidi Revello. That's R-E-V-E-L-O. Book available from the publisher Stratton-Press.com. Available wherever books are sold, and all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Chaplain, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing the stories with us. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. Information on the book, Chop Chop Chaplain, Chaplain Ministry and a Beef Processing Plant by Dr. Heidi Revello. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.